We have entered into a new era with more and more people working remotely. It's safe to say that many companies will permanently adopt some form of a hybrid workforce. There are many reasons why working remotely is a good idea, from cost savings to no more of those long commutes. And if you're in that DMV area, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, you know what I'm talking about these long commutes. However, a hybrid workforce does not come without challenges. Many people find themselves working in isolation, and they're feeling disconnected. They used to stop by a colleague's desk, and you know how you had the little candy dishes on the desk, and or you'll go have lunch with a friend. There were after-work activities and celebrations for birthdays and major events, retirements, transitions. People didn't realize the impact these activities had on team building and helping to keep employees motivated and engaged. There was already very little fun at work, but now almost non-existent. And this new normal can easily lead to unproductive employees, lack of communication, and even resignations. It's okay, but is it okay to have fun at work? As a team member or a leader, what can you do to create a strong team and create an environment where people, including you, are fully engaged and they want to come to work? Well, in this episode, Scott Novus discusses how playing video games may just be what your team needs to go from surviving to thriving. But before we get to that, good afternoon, morning, or evening, wherever you may be, whenever you're listening to this episode, welcome to Let's Coach. Now, Let's Coach is a show that brings the best from the coaching world for you to use in your everyday life, and we talk about what coaching can do for you. We bring you some great small business ideas and some good news stories and stories about people who are paying it forward in their everyday lives. My name is Carolyn Owens, and I'm the host of the show. And when I'm not hosting, I serve to help you up-level your skills so you can up-level your income, your career, your business, or your life. And I love to connect with you and hear what you think of the show, or if you'd like to be connected with the guests that we've had on, just go ahead and reach out to me. And you could do that by going to what I call my connection hub. If you go to carolyn360.com, you'll find links to the podcast, my blog, website, social media platforms. Everything you need to reach out and connect with me is right there. So that's carolyn360.com. And so today I want to give a special shout out to our listeners in Jamaica. This is the first time that I've ranked there, and I thank you and appreciate you so much for listening. Never ranked there before, so thank you so much for taking time to listen to Let's Coach. Definitely reach out if you have a question, or you know there's someone you want to be connected with, or you have an idea for the show. In our last episode, we're joined by the very, very successful business owner, Betsy Cirillo, and we talked about the labels that define us, because everywhere we turn, there is a new label popping up telling us who we should be, how we should act, and some are meant to be like this badge of honor, while others can cause hurt and pain. And these assigned labels that are given to us can open these past wounds, and it actually can impact our behavior and the choices that we make. They can keep us down, not allowing us to achieve and create success in our lives. And so the world uses these labels to define us and sometimes even separate us. So you can check out that episode where Betsy shared how you can claim your labels and use them as fuel for greater success. And that was episode 223, The Labels That Define Us. So if you go to your favorite listening platform, scroll to episode 223 and definitely check it out. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, wherever you listen. And definitely subscribe so you never miss an episode. Or, hey, if you're really enjoying the show, go ahead and leave us a review. I would definitely appreciate that. Now, I am really excited for today's episode. Scott Novus is the type of person you can talk to for hours and definitely pick up a few golden nuggets. You know, I'm honored to have him on the show today. And he serves as a speaker, innovator, and he is the founder of Brave Us and Game Truck. And after spending decades in the video game industry, even working with Disney for a time, Scott is an expert on all things gaming and the best way to harness the good of video games. He focuses on helping break down the barriers of isolation using video games by using them as a tool for connection. Whether it's a group of college students or trying to make friends or a team of remote workers who've been isolated by their working conditions, Scott believes that video games can help. And technology does not have to be isolating. You know how some of us feel when we're trying to learn some new systems or programs on this computer? If you could see me, I'm actually pointing at my laptop as I say that. But managed effectively, it can be a platform for transformation, change, and yes, even friendship. So help me give a warm let's coach welcome to Scott Novus. Scott?
Hey, Carolyn. Thanks for having me on the show. This is going to be fun.
Welcome. You know, many people dream of working with what is said to be the happiest place on earth. Disney, for those who are trying to figure that one out, but we should all know. We wonder what life is like behind the scenes. What was it like working as an executive with Disney?
You know, companies are made of people, and Disney is an incredible people. I mean, that's the simplest way to put it. I was very blessed. I got to work with Pixar. I got to work in the interactive division. We did video games. And my role was starting their Nintendo Center of Excellence years ago. And, you know, that has evolved. But one of the things that is just that truism, you know, your team makes a big difference. And the quality of the people on the team, you could do amazing things, and Disney really embodies that, is amazing people trying to do amazing work. And, you know, it's a big publicly traded company, so there's those features that you always have. But at the end of the day, that's the same across any big publicly traded company. So I found it to be an awesome environment with great people.
But you did venture out to other things, and you founded Game Truck. Having a son who's like a diehard gamer, I am familiar with Game Trucks, but our listeners may not be. Can you explain what Game Truck is and how you came up with this idea?
Yeah, it was this was 16 years ago, believe it or not. I was working, I was running a game studio looking at the new Xbox, and I said, boy, anything on a home console is better than anything you could play in an arcade. But there were features about, you know, playing together. We call it couch gaming, that so few people had the opportunity. And there were no, you know, the social environment of video games had gone away when the arcades basically shut down. And, you know, movies, they got the movie theater, like all other art forms have some way that for us communally and socially to appreciate it. And look, today, esports is blowing up and showing us like, wow, you mean people will fill stadiums to watch video games? Yeah, 16 years ago, that wasn't happening. But what we did is we thought, okay, what's the best possible way to play the best games with your best friends? We need a living room. Well, how do we do that? I looked at all the strip malls, what used to be called local area network centers or LAN centers, and there was all kinds of problems with the business model. And then it hit me, I'm like, well, what if we just threw it in an RV? Like, what if we just set an RV up so that, you know, you've got the four Xboxes and the four screens and 16 controllers so everybody could play together? And then somebody said, well, why not the PlayStation? I'm like, sure, throw those in, four-player Madden, let's have at it. Why not, At the time, it was the Nintendo Wii. Like, oh, we could play eight people could jump in and smash. Like, all the things that were all these dumb little barriers that you couldn't do it at home. And all of a sudden, we're like, we'll just take all the friction away. So I call it zero friction gaming. Show up and play. And I was super lucky, and I got right. It turned out to be a great idea because moms love it. And dads, mm-hmm. too, right? The families love it because we roll up in front of the house in this custom-built trailer, and inside the trailer is – it's full of flat-panel screens now, and every video game console, and a whole group of kids can pile inside and play, and it's a private party, just your kids and their family and friends, no strangers wandering around. It was like not the pizza arcade thing. Like, that's what bugged me about the pizza arcades was like, the games are terrible.
Oh,
my kids aren't
yeah.
playing together. I'm paying for other kids to go, you know, do that. It was really, how do we form more connection? How do we form more friendships? Because who's at your birthday party? Your family and your closest friends. And we hit a nerve that people were like, yes, this is the experience we remembered growing up, and it's an experience we want our kids to have. And the best part was the parents didn't have to do anything. We did all of it. They got 2 hours of quiet time while we're partying in the house. So that mindset kind of tees you up into why I'm kind of passionate about what I'm doing now. Why is it only kids use mm-hmm. play to connect? And when we saw the collegiate market explode, their demand for social, we call it casual social video gaming. Like, hey, let's play together to make friends. What we learned about video games is they're radically inclusive. You could be in a wheelchair. You, boys or girls, don't matter. There's no gender divide in video gaming. The world champion at Hearthstone is female. Some of the best professional teams. There are, if you Google professional video gamers, you're going to get more professional women in that video gaming than any other competitive sport, period. And they compete head-to-head with the guys, which doesn't happen in any other form of competition. So what I'm saying is there's this environment where if you show up, you can play. We can get adaptive controllers. It's really more about what you can do. And one of the things that's awesome, a DEI pitch, you pick your avatar. You can basically, like you were talking about labels, I love that, right? Who are you? Well, in a video game, you could be anybody you want to be. You could pick the character you want to play. And that form really lets people draw in. And I'm passionate about helping adults do it because what do we have? Lonely people working in isolation, like, boy, to belong, it's not enough just to say I'm a member of a group. You have to do things together to form new memories to create that social bonding. You got to synchronize. And what we discovered in my company, just doing task work together doesn't provide that synchronization.
Mm-mm.
Right?
It doesn't. That,
what it does is it's worse. It makes it transactional. And when human relationships become transactional, we replace those with software. And that's not the business I want to run. And I bet a lot of your listeners feel the same way, that they want to like the people they work with. They want to enjoy working with those people. How do we do that in a remote world?
Yeah, I like how you mentioned the piece about the characters and the avatar, because people will often think that, yeah, the guys always pick the, you know, most masculine, muscled up guy as their character, and that is so not true. They actually will go through some of the guys will use some of the female characters that's in there that are in the games kicking butt, and vice versa, where some of the girls will use some of the guy characters. And then you also have, you know, depictions of animals and all kinds of stuff that you get to create who you want to be in the game. And
yes.
You mentioned this thing also about connection. We hear a lot of gurus saying connection. We need connection. But there is a big difference between connection and building or creating relationships.
Yes.
Can you, from your perspective,
yes.
talk about that difference?
Yeah, 100%. a connection is, you could think of it in its simplest form as a touch point, right? Is anytime that you talk to somebody, an email, when you connect with somebody, it's sort of like one penny in the piggy bank, right? You want a lot of them, and you want to keep doing them over and over and over again. And so there's not like, well, I connected, I'm done. A connection is an action or an activity. But a relationship, so think of it this way, a connection is like a thread. But a relationship, a healthy relationship, is more like a rope. It's a collection of many little threads. How are we connected? In which ways are we connected over time? And the more commonality we have, the stronger that rope is. And so if I just connect with you by calling with you, speaking with you, that's one form. But what is really powerful are connections that help us form shared memories. Because once we do something together, now we both share half of that experience. We own it together. That's a deeper form of connection. And the most powerful ones are reciprocal, right? You did it.
Yes.
I did it. We talk about it. I talk about it. We're sharing together. One-way connection is probably the shallowest, weakest. We're used to that. That's what marketing is trying to do for us all the time. We're touching you all the time. Yeah, but I'm not touching you back. Really powerful connections are the ones that are reciprocal, that lead to that stronger rope of relationship. And I think there's something I would like to do for your audience, because I realize that when I talk about video games, I'm speaking about probably something radically different than they're picturing in their head. Many adults visualize Madden, or they think of games like Fortnite, the big popular games that everybody hears about, and I've mentioned some of the competitive video games. When I'm talking about connection, there is a very special genre of video game that is a cooperative, collaborative game. You don't compete with each other. You work together to achieve common goals. That's the kind of video games that we focus on when we're talking with adults. And because right now we have enough competition. Everything at work is a competition. Our businesses are competing.
Yes.
We're always competing. And there's a problem with that. Because this is why I brought this up, because relationships need vulnerability. If you're competing, vulnerability sounds like suicide. It sounds crazy. Like, why would I lower my guard so you can win? We need a safer environment so that, no, I can be authentic. And this is why picking that avatar is so important. You can only play video games authentically. But so players often pick the image they feel most authentically represents who they see themselves to be. It's kind of an interesting little psychology thing that goes on there with what happens in gaming, but it consumes so much of your brain. You can't fake it. You can't take on airs. You can't act to be somebody different. You can't pretend to be somebody different. You can only play as yourself. So having the ability to pick a character that represents you, it's a hack. It's a shortcut to deeper connection, is playing together. That's why I'm such a big fan.
Well, and this concept of relationships versus connection, when we think about our work environment, oftentimes it's like you use that word relationship, and it's, well, we don't have relationships at work, but we really do. These are the people we're spending time with, we're interacting with. It is a form of a relationship where, as you said, if you're just this thread by yourself, it's pretty lonely. It's pretty isolated. But being able to find that common bond and bring people together, because when we had to shut down and people had to start working from home, it had an impact on just every business, including yours and the gaming industry. What happened for you had to have your team go home?
Oh, yeah, ours was a little different. Some parts of the video game industry did very, very well. We do in-person events, so we got shut down hard. And I looked at my team, and I was like, man, what can we do? And they said, well, our business is about helping people make friends, right? That's how we think about it. We want to host an event where you could make a friend. And like, can we do that online? And my team said, absolutely. Then we go, let's go. And we were doing very, very well. We just forgot to do that for ourselves. And when one of my top employees resigned, I was stunned. I thought, what? Where are you going? What are you doing? We're like, we're on a mission here. And his response is, none of this has anything to do with me. And that was when I realized all we were doing was working together. All of the, like you talked about the candy in the bowl and the dropping in and how are you doing? None of that was happening in a purely online environment. We needed to be more intentional about creating space to interact with each other. And we needed to create a replacement for happy hours. We needed to create a replacement for let's go to lunch together. And for us, that became our weekly, you know, monthly, actually, once a month, we get together and we're a video game company. We play games together to remember why we like working together and to reconnect.
When people think of gamers, you kind of describe that perception that they're for kids, but there's this image that comes up when you think of gamers, people who will play them. Even if they're an adult, they tend to think of this overweight male sitting on the sofa, yelling at the TV, surrounded by snacks, not taking his job seriously. But,
right.
I mean, is this what video gaming really is? I mean, what's the real? What is it really like?
You know, like a lot of stereotypes, they persist because there's just enough truth for people, and it's a gross simplification. But a $280 billion year industry cannot be only made up of that unproductive demographic, right? There's just not enough income to support that. So who's really gaming? You'd probably be shocked to know the largest segment of the gaming audience are actually women aged 30 to 50. They play casual games on their phone. That is a gigantic chunk of the video game market. Game, you know, Microsoft bought King for who knows how much. The stereotypical niche is really, really tiny. And what we have are casual gamers, that your cell phone games, core gamers. These are the ones we see, the people that get super serious, and that's where all of the esports are at. They're really intense. But there's a middle ground, and that middle ground is sort of the mid-core. You know, not mid-core. They're not totally casual, but they're interested in things that are more engaging and a little more sophisticated, because the casual games are literally engineered to waste your time. See, the thing about video gaming, it's storytelling in the second person. We're engineering and designing an experience for you. You're going to live this. You're going to do it. And on, like I said, whether it's Wordle or Candy Crush or, you know, speedruns, they're engineered to waste your time, keep you busy for a few minutes and get you to move on. Core games, radically different engineering. They're trying to get people to face hard problems, develop skills, and persist until they overcome. The social cooperative games are engineered to help you interact with other people. The games are simple. We've actually developed a game that is part of a solution I call the Social Dynamics Lab. And what it is it's a browser-based game that anybody can run. If you can do a Zoom call, you can play this game. It is trivial control, like move the character around, pick things up, set them down. And it's a cooking game, right? It's in that genre of cooking games. Everybody knows how to cook. But that's not what makes the game challenging. Working together is what makes the game challenging, right? Anybody can do any task, but nobody can do every task. You're going to have to talk to each other. And you're going to have to learn together, and you're going to have to communicate. And if you do that, you can actually, in the game, watch your team, your group, improve. And that's, it's like everything we want in teamwork, but condensed down into a silly little game. And the beauty of it being a game is it's not your career. It's not threatening. It's not like, oh, no, they're going to discover. No, it's a game. But what it lets you do is zero in on that human element of how we talk to each other, how we interact with each other. And it's open-ended. There's countless different ways to play it well. And that genre of game is the one that is, when you talk about stereotypes, you're seeing, you know, that evidence is when you start digging in, like, there are 220 colleges now that have scholarships for esports. That's right. Your
wow.
kid get their school paid for by playing video games really, really well. How about that? And we're seeing more evidence of professions where they were talking about in the medical industry and surgery. A lot of the top surgeons were gamers because it requires focus, attention, concentration, precision, pain analysis. Like one of the, I do a talk for parents where it's how to stop fighting with your kids over video games, because that stereotype of the lazy, overweight kid playing games is one of the parents' fears. And we go through this, like how to stop fighting about ending game time, which I can teach you how to do that, how to stop worrying about how much game time they play, and how to quit, you know, worrying about games being a waste of time. It's a powerful tool. And
it
wanted to come and help your listeners say, hey, there's this amazing tool that's available to you to solve a problem that's super hard to solve, and why not take advantage of it? And that's my whole platform. It's like, this has been engineered by the most valuable companies on the planet to stimulate your brain the way it likes to learn. And for the last 2 decades, I've been learning how to connect remote people to form communities and friendships. Why wouldn't you want to leverage that multi-billion-dollar investment to help your team?
And I want to add the teaching parents how to navigate the video game world. I got very lucky early on. I saw my son that was his thing, video games, and I learned from a neighbor of a school that he could go to that would enable him to use this skill set. Because at first he wanted to be a dentist, but then he realized he didn't want to be sticking his hand in people's mouth. And so he realized,
right,
I love video games. But instead of us, we never argued about it. We found a way, how do you adapt and make this a learning opportunity for you? Tell me about the games you're playing. Okay, what are you learning? How are you communicating across? Because you're playing with people everywhere. How are you communicating? And we ended up turning it into his college degree. He got his undergrad in game art, and he's finishing his master's in game design and development, but learning project management skills. So diving into seeing what is all behind the scenes of this, it's so much more than that guy that people envision sitting on the sofa. Because you do learn about Agile, you do learn about Jira, you know, these different elements and programs. It was awesome to see this. And then you think go ahead.
All right, kudos to you. You did the most important thing. You leaned into his interest and started asking questions. You didn't lead with, that's a waste of time, stop doing that.
Mm-mm.
You turned it around to go, well, what is it? What's interesting? What's challenging? You used your life experience and mentored him. So, like, if you're interested in that, that can translate to this. If you built that bridge for his interest in gaming to his future, and every parent can do that, just like you, that path is available for every parent. And Carolyn, did that change the conversations you had with your son when you started talking to him like that?
Yes. I mean, it made us even closer, because now I'm interested in learning something about him, and he's seeing and learning about me.
Did
you feel more connected? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did your relationship improve?
We have a great relationship, but he doesn't like the way I play games. He says I'm too slow. But we laugh. We
sure.
have a great laugh about it, you know. So it really it did help. There, I will say, between video games and Marvel and DC movies, that helped to shape our relationship through his time growing up.
Well, I
did.
Will tell you gave him an enormous gift. Even though he's teasing about being too slow, the gift you gave him that so many parents are unaware of, that I encourage every parent, play video games with your kids, please. You showed him what it looks like for a mature, competent adult who he respects to struggle.
Yes, I did.
Kids don't get to see
that.
Oh,
I did.
Right? We don't see it in social media. We know that, you know, that's this holy crafted land of perfection. They're not allowed to screw up at school. Everybody's perfect at school. They're getting unbelievable peer pressure. So where do they see it? So you stepping into that world, let him know it was okay. It's really, really powerful. God bless you for doing that. Because so many kids today are suffering from those labels of being the need to be perfect, can't have a bad grade, all the things that go on when they see somebody else going, oh, that's what it looks like to struggle but persist with grace and dignity and learn and laugh at yourself. It opens a door for them to do it themselves. It's so powerful. And so if you're afraid to play video games, it's one of the most valuable strengths you have, because then you can jump in and use that as an opportunity to role model for your kids how you'd like them to behave when they're going to hit with something that overwhelms them.
And you connect, like that example of me and my son, you're showing the connection, the relationship, and you think about, like, this world we're living in now where, you know, you think about how many employees are not engaged, especially like in this remote hybrid work environment. How do you then connect those dots with video games and this isolation, you know, what's happening right now? How do you bring that together so people do engage?
It's, you know, for me, you know, the specific thing that we do is we host events. I mean, you can do some of these things yourself. There's games out there that you can play, you can find. Hacksball is a pretty good one. There's a couple other ones. A lot of people are playing Code Names, like playing together, right? Getting people together to converse, carving out an hour, you know, form a fun committee, get people together to talk about literally what can we do to bring more joy into work and more connection. Our main thing is, you know, we have a game specifically designed to meet the needs of adults in the adult workforce. For example, the characters in our games are only animals and they're genderless. So that, you know, it's anybody can pick anything they want in terms of the range of animals and characters and customization. So it's fun and it's lighthearted, but it gives you that opportunity of everybody can be included. Everybody can participate. And four people at a time jump into the game and play. But the way it's set up, you can set it to breakout rooms, so it's scalable. So you got 20 people, no problem. You got 100 people, no problem, because you don't have to go buy special equipment, and you don't have to be like, oh, how many licenses do we need? And it's just, you don't even have to create an account. It is zero friction gaming. It is, and you could do it hybrid, you could do it in person, you could do it completely remote. All you need is an internet connection and a laptop that'll run Zoom. You can play. The main thing is making the time and the priority to get together and have fun together. And, you know, that's the main thing. These things aren't hard, but the simplicity of just playing together, you go, well, that can't possibly be worth it because it just sounds trivial and too difficult. And that's the irony. Like, you had a conversation with your son. You played video games with your son. You used your perspective and experience to create a path for him to a future that excited and engaged him. That sounds simple, isn't it? How profound was the impact that had?
It was very – what's funny, you look back and he was such a great college student because he was engaged in that whole video game world. You know, high school he did good, but it was just a whole different experience because it was something he liked. Something, and whenever the joke was, whenever he'd won a new video game, he's like, "Mom, I'm doing research for my future." So we, you know, it was definitely a great experience. But I have to touch on something you said. You were saying form a fun committee and about having joy in work. But there are so many people who, when you say fun committee and joy in work, that work is not supposed to be fun because that is not professional. Have you heard that?
Oh, I lived that for a long time. I grew up in a very Presbyterian, and the, you know, it's called work, not super happy fun time. If it's not hard, it's not work. What I have learned from working at Disney and the experience that I was very blessed to get to work with Pixar, there's four corporate cultures that a lot of people run into, and this may resonate with you and your audience, so the listener, you listening, see if this makes sense to you. There are the miserable people doing a miserable job that the customers hate. It would be too easy to pick on the Department of Motor Vehicles or but how about Allegiant or Spirit Airlines? I mean, they don't seem to want to be doing that job. They certainly don't want you to be there. You don't feel like you want to be there. It's sort of a, let's get this miserable experience over with, shall we? A lot of companies fall into the mediocre middle. The people are okay doing the work they're doing. The customers understand that the employee is largely powerless to do anything to help them. And they all go, well, let's just be nice to each other and we'll get it over with. Think every cell phone company you've ever walked into and most banks. right? You're like, yeah, we're all powerless here, and we have to, so let's get it over with. The one that trips people up is the high-performance, talent-driven company, and that's one where I get some pushback a little bit because there can be a ideology around talent, talent, talent. We talk about people like they're talent, like they're bundles of talent. Carol Dweck did a great job. I'll take mindset over talent every single day. And if you want to know, like, about talent, and often the key is when we start idolizing professional sports, really dig deep into that. Look at the turnover. Look at the toxicity. ESPN did an amazing show called The Last Dance about the Bulls' last championship season. Scottie Pippen is still not over that relationship. They still don't like each other. That pain lasted decades. To give you an example from my own life, my son got to play on a championship baseball team in college. When they won the West Coast Conference, I was like, let's go celebrate. I'm picturing the big, you know, celebration, everybody going out together. We went out with his roommates. None of the starters went out to celebrate together. I was stunned.
Wow.
And he's like, hey, the games are like 5% of what we do. It was the level of competition can become so toxic in a performance culture. That was what undid Enron. So what do you have left? What are your options? What's the fourth culture? How about Pixar? I touched on it. They love what they do. They love who they work with. And they produce work that customers cherish.
Yes.
I still get choked up over Toy Story, and Toy Story 4 was like a dagger in my heart. Like, that's what mature male friendship's supposed to look like. That was awesome. You know, among all the other characters that are there. And God, wouldn't you want to run a company like that? Wouldn't you want to work for a company like that? So how
That'd
do we
awesome.
Do those things? And you see the games they would play and the things they would do, the culture they would create. I was very blessed to be in that audience, and maybe we can't all afford a palatial building where people get to make their own little hut cubes that are totally customized, but man, can we care about each other? Can we know each other? Can we spend a little time together treating each other like human beings? Can we play together? I think we can do those things. I think those are within our reach. I think they're within our reach to form memories about us being human beings working together, trying to achieve a common goal, and practice that a little bit in an environment that isn't so stressful, an environment where, I'll tell you, the number one fear in all the surveys of all the companies I've worked with is, it's like, I'll ask them, like, is your work meaningful to you? Yes. Is it aligned to your challenges and skills? Yes. You know, go through all the things, and it's all aligned, and I get to the killer question. Can you make a mistake? Oh, God, no. It's the perfection demon again. It's the perfectionism that comes up, and it stresses us out. Here's the secret. It cuts you off from learning. So play is a safe way to learn. Play is a place to practice creating an environment where it's okay to make a mistake and learn how to handle it so we can support each other and we can learn together. And if we can learn together in front of each other, adults hate to do that, by the way. We hate to learn in front of other people. We want to do all our learning in private. If we can learn together, if we could support each other in learning and we could practice it, it unlocks resiliency. Three things come out of relationships. Bonding. We get better emotional regulation, better relatability, and resiliency. So how do we do that? That's why I'm an advocate for find a way to play together. I'm bringing one tiny solution, one little itty-bitty one. Is there's this cheap, inexpensive tool lying there waiting for you that people have spent billions of dollars developing the platforms. It's like, stand on the shoulders of giants. Steal it. Use it. Take advantage of it.
It's a simple thing, but it's so important because as you were saying these things just now, I was thinking how this applies not just to the work environment, but in, you know, our intimate relationships. Because when people are dating, they don't like to learn in front of each other in terms of if you want to go out, you know, there used to be a time you can go play pool together. One may not know how to play pool, but you're teaching the other person, and it was fun. You know, you could go shoot hoops together. Make it fun. You don't have to be the expert, but learn it. All right, you're better at, you know, shooting, you know, a three throws, then show them how you do it. You know, play together. We don't do enough of that in any aspect of our lives, not just work.
I will tell you, like, one of the things that we put in our game that was super important to me, you could throw food at each other. It's just something silly about chucking a tomato at somebody. It's just funny. But you can catch them, too. I mean, it's just like this whole – but there's that element of play where there's actually neurocircuitry in your head. That is, we all have it. We all evolved with it. And there's an important thing that, you know, we admired the undefeated teams, but there's something actually sad about that. In real life, what we want is a fair chance. And measure this in rats. Like, rats will play together. And the irony, and this is true with humans too, it's the subordinate rat that invites the dominant rat to play. The power isn't with the dominant rat. It's with the subordinate rat. And if the subordinate one does not get enough opportunity to win, they'll stop asking the dominant rat to play, and they all suffer. Lesson for all of us leaders, right? We've got to remember part of our job is to create opportunities for our people to feel like they're winning. And what they found, the magic percentage is 30 to 40%. And if you open up any, it used to be a newspaper, but pull up your favorite app, ESPN, and look at the losing percentages. Go to your baseball, football, basketball, look at the bottom teams. The sports that persist, the bottom teams win 30 to 40% of their games. So we want to create those winning, small wins, those feelings where, yeah, nobody's good at it. Like, we don't really want people dominating in play. What we want are people feeling like they're contributing, and that's why cooperative play and collaborative play is so important, because everybody can make a contribution instead of like, oh, we're just beating on each other. Like, you know, so I'm off track a little bit, but I'm just, there's tools at your fingertips that are available where you can make a difference for the people that you work with. You spend so much time with them. You must care about them.
And you have, at Brave Us, you guys have created the workshop that you do for, which ultimately helps build in any company agency with friendships, taking the connection at one step further. And you've talked a little bit about it, but if someone wants to see what this workshop is about, how do they do that?
Oh, it's super easy. Go to my website, scottnovis.com/play. And we run a live stream every week or so called Lunchtime Games. And we invite a business owner, a professional, somebody like you, Carolyn. Carolyn, I'm going to give you an invite right now. I'd love to have you on our live stream and come and join us and see what this is all about. And we sit down and we play the game and we talk about work experiences we've all had working with other people and communication and just show people what it looks like to play. And we run a funinar. And the funinar is our version of a webinar where you can come in to talk about your team and what you need, because it's not just Bravis. We're also doing this with Game Truck. If you're having trouble getting your team back in the office, if you're struggling with, there's a lot of friction that happened between, look at what's happening at Apple right now. Like, how did we, this was no problem before. And now there's all this tension and stress, and we can bring out video games into your work, and you guys can play these kind of cooperative games together and remember why you like working together. And, you know, give that positive, like, hey, let's practice being a team again. So scottnovas.com/play, that will get you to the information, and we can help you find out how you can take advantage of this amazing technology to bring your people closer together. There's a type of video game you probably never knew existed, and it could really help you and your team.
And I encourage people, don't even be intimidated, because I am technology challenged, and I was able to move a character around. I think I was a giraffe. No, I'm sorry, I was a zebra maybe. But I was able to kind of move him around, and it was actually pretty cool because you do not have to install anything on your computer, and you can play. It's pretty neat to see, because these days everything's download this, do that. But you can have fun without even worrying about having to sign up or do this or do that. You just reach out, sign up for a time to play, and learn more about it and see how it can benefit for any. I look at not just companies, but if you're part of an association, I could see, you know, a lot of social associations were struggling to stay together during this time when we had, you know, the height of pandemics, and they're trying to rebuild. And this is a great way to me to do it without having to feel like you're competing with one another or who's in charge.
Yes.
And, you know, it takes that away.
It's an interesting environment, because one of the things that, another thing I do want to make your audience aware of, Gen Z is coming at you hot and fast. And that group, if they're not already in your workforce, the kids that 15 years ago I started game truck parties with are in the workforce now, and they're in college now, and they're coming at you. And video games are how they interact with the world. Most of their friends are online. And so this is a very natural environment for them to engage with. And, you know, one of the things that people have asked about, like, well, can we use this for onboarding? I'm like, absolutely you could. Because it's really about normalizing people to your culture and how you work together. You would just see the teams in a very specific way, how you would group people together to work together. And we'd be happy to help you with that kind of – I mean, that's the beauty of this thing. It's so flexible. If you want to plug it into your content management system, you could. It was literally engineered for businesses. It's not about selling you click ads or accounts or anything else. It was really a tool just to help people – interact together in positive, constructive ways. You know, like you talk about associations as well, or volunteer organizations. It's all of those things where, how do we create rapid alignment, synchronization, get everybody doing the same task at the same time with the opportunity to create what are called unstructured, unplanned conversations. And,
you know,
that is antithesis of work, right?
It doesn't matter what industry you're in, because recently I stopped working with a particular company and I realized part of, you know, the reason when I wanted to meet with them, I wanted to let them know why. It is because there was no true, the connection wasn't there. Like, it never grew to the relationship it needed to. And it felt very transactional. You know, like,
right.
Are you really caring about me as a customer? You know, are you just caring about making sure I make my, you know, payments each month? That's what I was feeling. And I personally prefer not to do business that way, but I wanted to try. And that would have been, a company that needed to learn and understand what was lacking from that communication, because not only are you learning through play and fun how to communicate with the team, that's going to carry over to how you're interacting with your customers.
100%. I feel like where this is all going for me is the most evolved form of, like, I've been asking this question for a long time, how do you hold people accountable? And the most evolved form of that, and I've know two gentlemen that are absolutely amazing at this, is empathic accountability. And it's a process where what you're really doing is empowering the other person to solve their problem. And you have to care about them to do that. And you have to be willing to see them, hear them, and make them feel known and heard, you know, known and felt like there's a connection. Like, you have to have that connection to pull this off. And when you pull it off, you get what my friend calls, you know, ABCD is above and beyond the call of duty performance. And it's amazing to watch. It is what we all want, is employees that are like, yes, like that's true internal, or what I call intrinsic motivation. It starts with what you talked about, the relationship. It starts with the caring. It starts with, you know, you've got to be able to have that. You got to make time for it. And I believe, I'm a firm believer, that play is an accelerant. It's a shortcut. We can, it's a lever, you know, it's a lead domino. If we can play together, we can accelerate the way that we connect with each other and build our relationships with each other. Because to your point, how vulnerable are you going to be with somebody who's only transactional with you? Are you really going to open up?
Not at all.
I don't do it.
Not at all. It changed the dynamics of how we were doing business, and I just got to a point where I said, I'm done. I can't do this. So you see, all these companies will spend so much money on looking for the right training, not just public sector, but the government agencies as well. They spend a lot of money on team-building activities and workshops, but this is something that they can do at a fraction of the cost, because I know that's one of the concerns of companies right now is their budgets. But the ROI on this is something that's very visible pretty quick.
It's, you know, there's a level where I would love to have all the data and a future version of the game. One of the things that we're excited about, because we wrote it, is we are going to be able to capture all the data. We have it now. It's just not in a usable form. And that's really where I'd love to get is this is a type of activity that people can schedule together on a regular basis, but they can also get that most valuable thing, feedback. Who's most active? Who's sitting on the sidelines? Who's actually jumping in and helping out? How many different types of tasks are people doing? And it's what I really wanted when I was a new manager. I wanted to be able to see my team work together. Like, one of the big things we did, we built a spectator mode. So you can watch your teams play the game. It's easy. And, like, when you get to watch your teams work together in real time and watch how they communicate and interact with each other so you can coach them better.
That's cool.
Where's
I like
the coach
that.
For every sport? They're on the sideline watching their team perform.
Yeah.
When their team struggles, what do? They step in and say, hey, let me help you get better. That was one of the most important things to me, is the game has a spectator mode, so you as a manager can actually watch your people work together and get a feel for what the actual dynamics of the team are. How do they communicate? What are their strengths? We've got all this personality data. That's the big project I want to get to, is correlating personality data for live, authentic performance. How do we work together collaboratively? Like, there's so much growth and opportunity here. The short thing is play, have fun, put a little energy back in, and build those relationships.
So it's a very exciting space to be in right now, especially as we see the need for something like this, kind of shake things up from a traditional way of doing things. What is next for Brave Us, for the Game Trucks, for you?
I touched on it a little bit. What we're probably going to be evolving into, like I said, this idea of social dynamics is, I'll be honest, it's wrapping gameplay into terminology that somebody in an accounting department can go, oh, that sounds like business. Let's rubber stamp that and do it. Because people trip over the term video games because of what the pictures they draw in their head. And so we're looking at not just this game, but this is a platform for lots of experiences and tools that leaders and managers can use for their own personal development. I'll tell you, like, one of my favorite things to do with this is when we're training new managers is we throw them in there and we put them in charge and go, you're not allowed – we could throw them in spectator mode. So they're in spectator mode, and there's four people playing the game, so they can't control anything, but you have to manage the team. every new manager does the same thing. They drop into color commentary. Ah, we're out of tomatoes, or we need more lettuce, or like, and it's chaos. Everybody drops what they're doing, and they all rush over to chop more lettuce, and you're like, no, we needed other people doing this, washing plates, and it's, there's a very specific thing. It's like, Bob, I need you to stop washing dishes, and I need you to cut 6 heads of lettuce. Very specific direction. Purpose of management is to keep an eye on what's coming at the team, manage the future, and break it down into actionable tasks that your team can focus on and execute without stress. And when a manager does that job correctly, it's, the scores are off the charts. Like, it's crazy what a team can achieve when they're properly managed. Somebody's looking out for them and managing the future and breaking things down in a way that makes sense. But you've got to be direct. You've got to talk to people with compassion and use their name. And so many people are afraid to do it because they're afraid to give an order. They don't want to be a tyrant. They don't understand. So they just yell out emergencies. And it's a kind of thing where you wouldn't see it unless you had an opportunity to watch it in little 5-minute sprints. And in a single afternoon, we can move somebody from that sort of reactive color commentary to more thoughtful, more planning. Now the planning tools, see, this is for me. What do you know if you don't practice, right? I can give you planning tools all day. When do you practice them? This kind of a video game like this lets you practice these in 5-minute sprints every 20 minutes to half hour. You can get 5 repetitions in a half-day workshop. You know, it's one of those where now you're like, oh, that's how this works. Oh, it'd be like so much we do in business. We just talk at people and go, okay, and turn them loose. Like, you would never teach golf like that. You would never teach something that has actual skill and nuance to it. You need to practice it. So to me, this is all about practice and application. So what's going for us going forward is we're going to be really partnering with GameTruck to bring more of these types of events to in physical locations because the demand is there. Offices are open again. And so the two companies are going to be working very closely together to work with remote, in-person, and hybrid teams and helping adults. How about that? Wouldn't that be cool? At work, that used to be one of the number one questions on the work engagement status. Do you have a friend at work?
And at work. I still ask people that. Do you have, just to see what headspace they're in, how does their, you know, do they have someone they can share their work experience with that understands the work they're doing?
Have you seen that change over the last 2 years? Are people answering? Is it getting better or worse?
It usually will come with a well, which to me is a no. Yeah, you're about to tell me no. And so and then you see more and more, I've found it grow into that isolated state. And it's now people, one of the things that I'm working with some agencies with right now is returning to the workplace and your communication skills, which we have lost. You know, how do we go back into the office and respect each other? Because you can't, you can't just openly address someone a certain way. That's derogatory. That's hateful. But when you've been at home for 2 years, you hadn't had to think about these things. So I'm working on that psychological safety space, because team building, communication.
That's exactly it. It's really exactly what you said about psychological safety. And it's not just that we didn't have to think about it. Our computers and our technology trained us to treat people like things. And that's a core problem. It's not that people are bad or lazy. They've been conditioned through the practices to treat people like things. We put an emphasis on efficiency over effectiveness. So I love what you're doing. That's tremendous. Like, spot on.
And so I'm going to ask this question, and I just wanted to be clear. Can we have fun in the workplace?
We do where I work, and I would be happy to help any of your listeners learn how they could do it where they work as well.
It should be. You have to have. That's what keeps the days from dragging out, being boring, because we spend a significant time of our day working. Why not have fun doing it? It's okay to have fun.
Yeah, you know where I stand on that issue. Yeah, I'm all into Yes.
I just, do you happen to have a favorite video game or series or?
I play a lot of different things. I'm what you would call a video game tourist. Because I was involved in making them for so long, I'm always curious to see the game and see what they're trying to achieve. What I will tell you right now that I am doing as a stress reliever on my Nintendo Switch, I am playing Mario Kart. They just released a bunch of new tracks, and I'm going back and kind of grinding my way through them because it's engaging and it's a stress reliever and it's fun, and that's what I play solo. and when I'm playing with my team, big fan of Among Us. That's a fun one. And, of course,
oh.
I can't, you know, not say the game. Our game is called Ready, Set, Cook. And so we're having a ton of fun. We're in playtesting now. So if you have anybody that's listening that would like to be a playtester or would like to try it, we're looking for volunteers to, you know, help us work out all the kinks. But right now it's going very well. It's being super well received, and we're really excited about it.
Awesome, oh, definitely, because I, as you know, my son's still a student, and so there's a lot. They're often doing testing and looking at games and stuff, and they have to do the write-ups and stuff, so I'll mention it to them. For me, I'll just add this real quick. Big fan of Assassin's Creed. That will never go away for
I
me.
Ask you, yes. Oh my God! Such a hard game. I'm so impressed.
Now, no, wait, but that's why he laughs at me. He says,
oh,
I'm
you're
too,
not going
slow.
Too slow. I bet I'm slower than you. I'm sure I am. My son loves that game too, and he's like, "You got to play this game." I'm like, "Let me sneak around."
Anything in that series, I love.
Yeah.
There's only one I didn't like. And that's when they had George Washington in it, because I'm a big history kind of fan. And if you distort my stories too much, then I don't, you know, want it. I'm like, I can't play it. But I love anything Assassin's Creed. Many people didn't even like the movie when it came out, but I have watched the movie no less than 10 times. And so Assassin's Creed is, I love Assassin's Creed, anything.
Yeah, that is, it's a, you know, it's one of those, it's a really brilliant, well-designed series. And, you know, there's a thing where I will tell you, like, one of the games that got me recently, and when you get a PS5, you want to check it out, is Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
Phenomenal storytelling, phenomenal graphics. And if you like Assassin's Creed, you're really going to like that game. Similar mechanics, slightly different, but... It's just top-notch all the way across. Beautiful graphics and really fun gameplay. And an like I said, an incredible story. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that might think of picking it up. But I will tell you, like, one of the things that is on my website and is part of my sort of, like, there's another thing. If you troll through it, you'll find the you don't have to troll. You can visit. You're welcome. You don't have to sneak around. It's open. There's some resources there on games to play with your kids if you have – because a lot of parents are intimidated, so I have a list of games that are going to level the playing field between you and your kid. So they're easier for you to play alongside them.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have – because you really – I do encourage parents when they play with their kids, don't pick a competitive game where you're winning and losing. You don't want to mix those emotions with your kid. You want to pick something cooperative and collaborative. Nintendo Switch is the best platform for that, but there are games on every platform you can play, and I've got a list of them. So, you know, to me, games are a tool. They're a tool, and they induce specific emotions and effects in people, and I want to use those to help my people work together better, and I want to help other people do that too.
Well, I know we are coming to the close on this interview, and as I was saying, you are someone that I can talk to for hours on, and especially in this space.
You're so fun to talk to.
So I always like to close with this question. You have 30 seconds to leave a message with your audience. What's that key takeaway, that key message you'd like to leave?
You're a good leader because you care about the people you work with. That's why you're listening to this show. You're a good leader because you're trying to develop your own skills and improve and upgrade your abilities so you can have a bigger impact on people. You're a good leader because you pick this path and it means something to you. We don't get enough encouragement when we go down the leadership path. So I want to give you that encouragement. You are a good leader.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Remember, guys, you are a good leader. And it's time to stop yelling and having conflicts in the workplace. We need to learn to have more fun and learn how to play together. And this is a great way to do it. So at the bottom of this write-up for the show, you're going to see the link where you can connect with Scott. Sign up for one of the Funinars. See what it's like and see if it's something that you could bring to your team. It's definitely a fun way to connect and build relationships. Scott, thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. I know we had struggles trying to figure out when we could do this interview, but we have made it happen, and I thank you so much for taking time out for it.
Thanks for having me here. It's been an absolute blast.
And for our listeners out there, I know you have a choice of shows that you can listen to, and I appreciate you taking time out to listen to this one. I encourage you to subscribe on your favorite listening platform so you never miss an episode. But until next time, I want you to remember, if it ain't broke, make it better. Have a blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.